Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Time. If you can't listen live, you can always go to the podcast, which you can do that by the way you do that is go to www.blogtalkradio.com, punch in the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business, and you will get every single show that we have ever done. And we've done a lot of them. By the way, if anybody would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do that by going to at WC Hoops. And one other thing, we're going to have a big announcement coming out this week. My good friend Jovan Alford, media star from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, one of the great basketball towns of all time. We got a new thing going on, and we're going to break it out this week, and it's going to be kind of exciting. Of course, this is the last, believe it or not, this is the last Tuesday of the month. Where has October gone? Wow, and next Tuesday it'll be November 1st. But always on the last Tuesday, we talked to four great coaches, four great human beings from the NWAC, a great league. Men's basketball coaches who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. So you don't want to listen to me any longer? Let's get the show rolling with TJ Cow, the outstanding men's basketball coach at Tacoma Community College. TJ, how's it going? And you've had about a week of practice now of your full practices. Give us a little breakdown on your team. How is it? And what needs work? What's been good?
It's going well, Gregory. Thank you again for having me. As you said, this month has flown by. It's crazy right now. But the practices are going pretty well. We've been going for a little while now. We started, the NWAC rules are crazy. So we've actually been going since the first day of school. And, where it's consistency is the toughest thing. One day we'll look great. One day we'll not have the energy. We'll turn the ball over too much and look a little complacent, which will drive me crazy, to be completely honest. But I think we're on the right track. We seem to be focused on getting better, and we're continuing to work together and stay together as a team. So I think that's an important thing for us right now.
And moving forward, you know, I always think about the NWAC, TJ. It's my favorite league. I'm not afraid to admit that, but I'm always disgusted because it just goes by too quick. And it's really, compared to most college basketball seasons, it's very condensed. It comes and goes, so you got to take advantage of every opportunity.
It comes and goes quickly. That's definitely right. We start even, you know, a couple weeks after the NAIA schools do, the Division II, all the schools, just as you said. But it is, there's not as many games, and the separation of talent from top to bottom and coaching and just everything from top to bottom, it's so tight that you have to be ready to go every single night or you're going to get beat. And it makes you get prepared, and it makes you respect every opponent, and teaches you a lot about yourself as a team and a coach.
I'm going to ask everybody, I like to ask at least one question the same to everybody tonight, and you have the honor of leading us off on this, TJ. Why is it so tough? In your expert opinion, and you're an outstanding basketball coach, why is it so tough for teams to win on the road in basketball?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of different reasons at different levels. There is a comfort in playing in the gym that you shoot on those baskets every single night. You go in and you're doing workouts in the mornings and the evenings, practice time, play the game. So there's a comfort level there. And then there's the fact that you have your home crowd, you know, and in some places that's a bigger factor than others. some NWAC schools have bigger crowds than others, so that can be a factor. And then there's the travel itself, you know, depending how you travel, whether you're driving a van there and everyone's crammed in a van, or whether you're flying there and you have jet lag, or, you know, whether you're changing time zones. There's a lot of different variables, you know, changing the times that you eat before the game and the places that you eat, the food you're able to get, all those different things. I think there's just a lot of different variables that go into it. And when you're at home, like I said, you have that comfort level, and you're able to stay a little more even keeled throughout the game.
Very good. Great response there. Hey, TJ, I also wanted to ask a Division I coach today, and I asked him what was going to be his point of emphasis here before he gets rolling pretty soon. He says, well, one of the really key things is we're going to work really hard on scoring in our front court, both on the side inbounds and from underneath the basket. We generally, I know coaches think about it all the time, but it's not something that fans, the media talk about inbounds play, but critical part of the game of basketball. Number one, you don't want to turn it over, and number two, you definitely want to score out of it.
That is for sure. There's always opportunities every game, and anytime you're able to get a bucket or two and just get a shot around the rim, it can be a huge factor in the game. And I think that it's something that we put quite a bit of time into, but it's also a tricky balance when you're practicing for the number of possessions that you have down there, how much time you want to put into it. So I've tried a lot of different things over my short time as a coach, you know, how much time we want to spend on it, how many plays we want to put in. But I think the good teams they're scoring at a high rate off of their inbounds plays. So it's definitely a huge factor in the game.
And a final question for you, TJ. Great job tonight leading us off per usual on the last Tuesday of each month. But have you scrimmaged much? Are you going to scrimmage another team before you have an official game? How are you handling that?
We haven't done much. We've done a little bit amongst ourselves. We've played a couple 20-minute halves. We haven't gone a full game. And that's just with myself and my assistants blowing the whistles, which isn't always as accurate as getting in there with the real referees. But we have an alumni game that we're going to play. We're hoping to. We don't have it actually officially scheduled yet, but we're working on that. And then we have a scrimmage against a club in the Seattle area, Christian-based club that we're going to play. I think they're helpful. They've been helpful for us in the past to kind of get a rhythm against other teams and get those jitters out. With NWAC kids, you're always playing with freshmen and sophomores, so it's good to get that first game under their belts. And that's how we'll do it. We'll play a couple, and we do a lot of five-on-five on practice. That's just how I coach, how I feel comfortable. So we're going five-on-five all the time, but it is nice to get into a scrimmage.
Absolutely. Hey, guess what, TJ? The next time we talk to you, you will have played a game, and that'll be kind of exciting, or more than one. So we'll enjoy hearing about those and enjoy hearing about the games you have in the future. Great job tonight, and we'll talk to you the last Tuesday of the month of November.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Gregory. Have a good night.
That's TJ Cowell, the outstanding men's coach at Tacoma Community College. Now let's go to another outstanding coach in the NWAC, Mitch Freeman of Peninsula College. Mitch, how are you doing tonight? And I've been watching. You guys took a little trip north of the border.
Yeah, we sure did, Greg. Thanks for having me on. We went up to Victoria, I guess over to Victoria, then up to Nanaimo. And we played two games up in against Vancouver Island University, a couple of scrimmages for us, and a chance for us to bond as a team. And went up there and took the ferry boat across, about a 90-minute ferry boat over to Victoria, which is a beautiful city, and then up the coast there to Vancouver Island University. It was beautiful. It's an awesome trip for our guys.
Both places you played, was the ice in good condition? Oh, no, that's hockey. Sorry about that.
Yeah, right?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch, how are you feeling about your team right now?
You know, I feel optimistic. I mean, but it's, again, it's really early. We have a lot of new players. We had 9 new players on our roster after losing 8 guys from last year. So it's every day is a learning process. Every learning opportunity, every time we step on the floor with these guys. And we got some really good kids in our program, and we're just learning how to win and how to compete at a high level all the time. So it's been fun. It's a challenge that lies ahead of us, but it's a fun group to go to war with. So.
Yeah, what do you see as the strengths of this team going forward this year, Mitch?
That's a good question. Give me a little more time, I think, as we continue to see our team develop. But I really like I like our leadership. Our sophomores, the return, and a couple transfers that have experience playing at the college level. So they're that's nice to have those kind of guys on our roster. So I don't know exactly. We're still trying to find out what kind of team we are, I guess is the best way to describe. I mean, I'm not sure how fast we'll play, but I do know this. We have a bunch of guys that are buying into each other, and we're building on chemistry. So that trip to Vancouver Island University, Vancouver up in Nanaimo, that was a great trip for us in terms of getting together as a unit and building on chemistry and camaraderie, and that's what makes, I think, a team special. And so we're building on that.
I have always felt the NWAC is a league of fantastic shooters. How are you going to be in that department this year, especially from the 3-point line?
Yeah, well, I think the three point shot is a big difference in the game, especially. Especially within the last, 5-10 years or so, it really is a big, it's a big shot, and I think that we have guys that can make shots. There's shot takers and the shot makers, and I think we have a number of guys that can really make shots that really dedicate themselves to getting the shots up in workouts and to putting the extra time in. And so hopefully we'll have opportunities for those guys to get shots. We have some size inside that can help with, those missed shots. But hopefully we have enough guys that are able to do it. Last year, I know early on, got zoned a lot. And then fortunately throughout the season, as we get into league play, that minimized a little bit. But we get a lot of new guys, so they haven't been proven at the college level in a game yet. So the verdict's still out a little bit.
Now, Mitch, here's my stat of the night, the stat of the century. When Magic Johnson was playing for the Lakers, throughout his entire career, he always took the ball inbounding when they were in the front court under their basket. He was the inbounder. Every time. They scored 73% of the time when he was doing that. That's a weapon. Inbounds plays are
important. That's a pretty good weapon. Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely, they're important. I was listening to TJ, the question you asked TJ about inbounds plays, and they're really important. And we go over inbounds plays and side outbounds plays. I think, we actually kind of do it on a daily basis. It's not actually specific to, say we're going to be running, half to full. Well, we'll start, instead of just checking the ball at bounce, we go from underneath out of bounds. So we run a set into what we want to do. And we do the same thing from our side out of bounds. So we run our stuff, so we're consistently running every day for the most part. So we do definitely train ourselves to go through those actions that we want to run. And I worked for Calero at Cal Poly and CLU, and Coach Calero changed his out-of-bounds plays every single game. He has a standard. So, he has certain diagrams that he uses consistently, but he'll base on scouting report. and he'll change his scouting report. He'll change his out of bounds plays every single game, especially like in league play. I don't have the ability to do that. We tried that a little bit 1 year, and it just become, you know, it was a headache. But we have several plays that we able to run against man or zone so that we don't get caught by surprise. But we try to do them consistently every day. I think it's really important. The main concern for me in any of those scenarios is get the basketball in bounds. If we score, awesome, and hopefully we score because we're able to do that and we're comfortable with that as we get more comfortable with those kind of sets, OB and side out and whatnot. So,
great job tonight, Mitch. I'm looking forward to seeing you playing down at Mount Hood Community College, one
yes.
of my favorite gyms to watch games in of all time. That'll be exciting. And we'll talk to you again a month from tonight or the last Tuesday of the month of November.
Great. Thank you so much, Greg, for having me on. And good luck to all
our
coaches
pleasure,
out there
yeah.
as we start. Thank you.
Thank you for doing a great job. Mitch Freeman, the outstanding coach of Peninsula College in the state of Washington and a member of the NWAC. And now let's stick in the state of Washington and talk to another outstanding coach, Kyle Gray, the head men's coach at Edmonds Community College. And Kyle doesn't know this yet, but following Kyle on this program always is Aaron Landon. And Aaron is playing a scrimmage against Clackamas this coming Sunday. At halftime, they're going to name the court after Kyle Gray because his teams have had such awesome success at Clackamas Community College. How do you like that, Kyle?
That's really nice. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's wonderful. I wish I could be there to see it happen, but I guess I'll look at it and see it in December then.
I'll send you photos. We have new technology now. How about the success of your team this year? What's going to cause you to be successful this year that you can see out of your team what you've seen in practice so far, Kyle?
I think, the mesh of our veteran players and then our newcomers and just trying to get everyone up to speed and understanding the concepts of our younger players, because we have some really talented younger players, but just understanding the concepts and picking up the speed and making sure that everyone's on the same page, which will really help our defensive philosophies and kind of the speed that we want to play with. And, of course, the ability to share the basketball, that'll be big too, because we got a lot of guys that can really fill it, but we just got to make sure that we're looking for the best shot for Edmonds, not just for ourselves.
Kyle, you're an outstanding coach, highly respected by your peers, as is all the coaches on this program. What are you trying to look at in practice time-wise? Obviously, that probably changes throughout the year, but what's the max time you would ever go into practice probably?
Maybe earlier in my coaching career, we'd go forever to just get something in. But, 2 hours is usually probably where we want to hit it, give or take a little bit, depending on what it is and the intensity and the focus at practice. I think that's a lot of what you're keying in on. We'll have a clock up at practice and we'll try not to spend too much time on one particular drill or one particular scheme for too long. But, if we're hitting on something and I feel like the guys are staying in it and focused, we'll keep trying to make progress in whatever area that we're focused on at that time.
Kyle, almost every coach I talk to, pretty much almost unanimous, loves to scrimmage, whether they're against another team or not in this time of year. But they also always tell me we really love to do it if we can with referees. Real referees, which makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, it's huge. I mean, as coaches, TJ kind of, touched on it a little bit. I mean, as coaches, we're really just kind of focused on what we're trying to get in and what hopefully the guys are learning. And the foul calling and all that stuff is a bit secondary. You know, we really don't, you know, guys are out there, and the beauty about, you know, especially our guys this year, you know, they want to go out and compete. They want to win every drill. That's something that we're trying to hone in on them every day anyway. So, you know, one particular coach making a bad call here or there can sometimes get out of hand. So it's nice just to let the professionals deal with that, and we can focus on coaching, and it really does help. And I think that's almost the most important part of the scrimmages is our guys, especially the new guys, the freshmen, understanding how the, you know, game is officiated at our level, because I do believe that it's different at every level, and what's called, what's not called, and I think it makes a difference, and it even makes a difference in the NWAC. I mean, sometimes things are different in the North than they are in the South and the East and everything else. So it's really beneficial for us.
Good point there. Very good point. Kyle, you know, I've always been fascinated myself personally with free throw shooting in basketball and inbounds plays, especially in the front court, because I see the ball get turned over way more than it should. How much time do you spend on inbounds plays, and talk about the importance of them, please?
So, yeah, I do think they're important. I heard your stat with Magic Johnson, and I think that, it's great to have height and a guy with good court vision, and I think Magic is exactly what that is. So it's always helpful to have that guy to be the guy that you give ball to in that situation that can really read the defense and kind of anticipate some of the plays developing. We don't spend a ton of time on it. My feeling is that if I continue to pound one play in over and over again to some guys, that they'll eventually just start kind of going through the motions as opposed to really looking for what we want them to at times. So we try to mix it up as much as possible, and we will have, and I think that inbounds plays, especially based on inbounds plays, there's about, you know, 1 million to 3 million of those. We will run through a good amount of them throughout the season, and I don't like to just stick with just a couple. I like to keep it fresh and keep rotating them through just to make sure the guys are focused on, you know, many different opportunities.
And a final question for you tonight, Kyle, is that you talked about this with the coaches prior to you coming on, is the NWAC season is a very condensed season compared to most college basketball. And I'm talking about number of games and how rapidly it goes and when it ends. You got to really be ready right out of the chute.
Yeah, in some ways that's absolutely true. But of course, January and February is what it's all about, and I think all these coaches would agree with me on that. You're certainly building up to that, to making sure that you're ready and you're performing well. It certainly helps and goes a long way. However, I will say that as we just try to break it down as much as we possibly can. You know, kind of give them bite-sized form, and if we do that, then you know, the season just kind of goes along, and we're ready to certainly get rolling right in January and February, and that's obviously when we want to be playing our best.
Very well said. Great info from you tonight, as well as all the coaches. Kyle, it's a pleasure to know you. I'll see you down at Clackamas for the annual holiday Christmas tournament into December, but hope to see you before that, and have a great month, and we'll talk to you again the final Tuesday of the month of November.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
You betcha. That's Kyle Gray, the head men's basketball coach at Edmonds Community College. Now let's close out the program with Aaron Landon, who's doing a fabulous job at South Puget Sound Community College in beautiful Olympia, Washington, the capital of the state of Washington. Good evening, Aaron. And I'll start you right out about the out-of-bounds question. You spend a lot of time on it. Talk a little bit about the importance, and I think, as I mentioned, especially teams got to avoid turning that ball over on it. It's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, after hearing that statistic that you gave Coach Freeman, I think the most important thing for us is to get a Magic Johnson caliber player in there. That would obviously transform our baseline out of bound package. But in all seriousness, we take probably a different approach in that, you know, we don't think you know, you must score out of it. I just like to look at it as just get the ball in. I mean, we practice so much offensively, you know, what we do against man, what we do against zone. We don't spend a ton of time in practice trying to score out of our out-of-bounds plays. So there's scoring opportunities in them, but at the same time, you know, once we get the ball in bounds, we feel like we're in a better position because that's where we're used to practicing. So we just try to get it in and kind of play from there.
Very good. Aaron, you've had a lot of practices, some longer than others. How are you feeling about your team right now? And I know every coach wants their team better at this time of year, but give us a little report.
Yeah, we've had a lot of practices. We haven't had our whole group practicing together. We got bit by the injury bug early, but we're getting healthy now. We got our final player cleared today who was out, and just happy to have everybody on the court. And we'll find out a lot more this weekend. We're going down to Oregon to scrimmage against a few different teams, and that'll give us a good sense of where we are and kind of what we need to work on. So right now we're just kind of anxious to get out and play against some other teams.
Yeah, and you'll be at Lane Community College on Saturday and then at Clackamas on Sunday, and both highly competitive teams every year, and you have a good team. That'll be a great test for your team.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're excited to go get those games on the road. I think that'll be a good experience for us to travel together and get into a different gym. You know, Lane's always good, you know, postseason team last couple years, 20-win team. Southwestern Oregon will be down there too, who's very good, who, you know, won the entire South region a few years ago. And then we'll play at Clackamas. So, you know, Clackamas is always going to be good. And the biggest thing for us is just going to be, you know, playing hard and getting out there and competing against somebody new. It sounds like it'll be a hectic day in Eugene because the Ducks are playing a home football game, but kind of due to the state of their season, I would say the Lane Jamboree is probably the best show in town on Saturday.
Yeah, might outdraw the Ducks even. You know, you never know about that. Chofka might have something up his sleeve. You know, how about you're going on the road to start with. You're going to get battle-tested with those scrimmages. Why is it so tough for basketball teams to win on the road?
I think just because you're going into a new place that you're not familiar with, new territory. You're coming, you know, off a bus to play a game. But you know, we were really, really good on the road last year, and I attributed our overall success to just being a great road team. That's where it started, and it really brings your group together because you spend 24 hours together, literally, you know, eating meals, staying in hotel rooms together. And so I think a lot of your chemistry is built on the road as you travel around the great Northwest and share that experience with each other.
Aaron, you, as I mentioned, you are in a beautiful city, Olympia, Washington. State of Washington is gorgeous, but you're in the Capitol. And do you use that to your advantage with recruiting? Do you guys ever go down to the Capitol, take a little tour, go down and talk to some legislators? Do you do any of that stuff?
Boy, I'll tell you what, this year and at this point in American political history, we are trying to stay as far away from the Capitol and politics in general as we possibly can. I want to lock our guys in the gym, you know, put our phones down, turn them off, and just keep it, you know, going to class and getting your education and playing a lot of basketball. I don't have anything to say about the election. We don't spend a ton of time down at the Capitol. We like to get out in Olympia. It's a beautiful town. We took our team photo at the Capitol, but that's about our extent of involvement with our state legislators this year.
I guess that answers my question. Aaron, I'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday at 2 o'clock at Clackamas Community College. That's open to the public, as is the games down at Lane. You'll be down there on Saturday at Clackamas on Sunday. Thanks for another great job on this show, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night on the NWAC Hoop Show.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me on. I appreciate everything you do for us.
You betcha. My pleasure. That's Aaron Landon, the head men's coach at South Puget Sound Community College. He has changed the culture of basketball there, and you need to change it, listeners, by going out and watching a game, no matter where it is. Just get out and watch a basketball game. Good night, and make your free throws.